When these entities are told that they are having a damaging or detrimental effect on their hosts and are asked if that is their intention, the usual response is to deny wanting to hurt the host, and they often express regret and apologize if they may have caused harm. Additional information is given to the entity about the light and the desirability of going there. This is a process of selling until they express an interest in actually going. At this point, a call is given to anyone in the light who cares about the attached entity to come for them, greet them, show themselves to them, communicate with them and help them with their transition. The earthbound is then told to look up and tell what they see. In most instances, they will see and recognize a relative, a friend or an angelic figure. A few times, the entity has reported that nothing was seen when they looked up. This indicates that the earthbound had attached to them either one or more other earthbound spirits or may even be carrying a dark entity. When those that are attached in tandem are released by appropriate techniques, the first located entity can then move to the light. Some entities are reluctant to leave the host because their intention is to help, or their hesitancy may be due to fear of the unknown. Those who come from the light to greet the earthbound ones are able to communicate with them and explain what their existence is like in the light and help convince the skeptics. Very rarely, those who come are imposters. If we suspect an imposter, we ask the earthbounds to look into their eyes and touch their hands. The hands will be cold and the eyes will appear red or dark. Any imposter who comes is ordered to leave. The imposters leave at once. None have hesitated to leave of the few I have encountered. When an earthbound entity expresses a willingness to leave their host and go to the light, we ask that before they leave they look around inside the host's body and around the periphery to find any other attached beings of similar nature that they can persuade to go to the light with them. This may or may not be successful. Reluctant earthbounds may have to be handled individually until all have gone to the light. Willing additional entities leave with the primary one. We say, go in peace with our love and blessing. We deal with reluctant entities later by repeating the procedure. 10. Filling the vacant space or spaces. We call upon the healing angels to come and fill all spaces with healing light that were previously occupied by those who have departed. 11. The dark entities. When there is no answer to the question, do you have a name? Or they give some aggressive response such as, go away, I don't like you, or none of your business. We know we have encountered an entity who never had their own human physical body. I have responded with, I'm not going away, I'm not here to be liked or I'm making it my business. We call at once for the forces of Saint Michael, the Archangel, to come, cast a net of light around the entity and pull its nug. If the entity refuses to answer questions, we ask that the net be pulled tighter and tighter until prompt and truthful answers are forthcoming. Typical questions comprising the removal procedure include, A, who sent you to host? They may respond with, you know, I'm not supposed to tell, the big boss, the evil one, etc. B, what is your purpose in host? The answers are consistent in indicating that they are under instructions or orders to harm, disturb, confuse, cause failure or illness or even to kill. They fear severe punishment from their commanders if they reveal the boss's name or fail to carry out orders. We proceed to undermine their commander by asking whether they had been promised a reward or promotion for doing a good job at their assignment. Many report having been promised. None report having been given the rewards. When these dark entities are asked what they have been told about light, the response is that they must avoid light as it would harm, melt or destroy them. We then ask the forces of Saint Michael to send a shaft of light right through the dark entity, repeating as many times as seems to be needed. Typical questions comprising the removal procedure include, did that hurt? Did it melt you? Did it destroy you? They agree that there was no harm. We tell them that they have been lied to and we then ask them if they like working for a liar and deceiver. This usually produces a response of displeasure. We continue to question and comment, how old was, host, when you joined? What were your instructions about 21 remaining hidden or secret? Now that you have been found, you have failed to follow instructions. What happens to beings like you who fail to follow instructions? Responses are very much the same from entity to entity. They tell of a special place of punishment, a pit, a horrible place which they know by having spent time there or by having heard about it. We remind them that because they have failed they are in danger of being sent to the place of punishment, but that they have another option to go with the rescue beings around them. Dark entities are suspicious and may require continuing efforts to convince. One effective method is to ask them to communicate with Saint Michael's forces, some of whom were once dark destroyers who have been transformed. What do they tell you? Have they found a better way? The rescuers respond that some of them were indeed once dark and have found a much better existence. At the point the dark entity indicates a willingness to go with their rescuers, we say, look deep within yourself to the very center of your being and tell me what you find. They all report finding a spark, a flame or dot of light. Keep watching that light and tell me what happens. It always grows larger and brighter. What is happening to your darkness? It all disappears. We continue. Now that you glow, you attract any other dark beings in or around, hosts, body. Call them to you. Ask each one to look within to see what is there and watch it grow. Are all that are in or around, hosts, body willing to go with you? Usually all are willing. When we do encounter one or more reluctant ones, we ask all the willing ones to go in peace without love and blessings. As you leave, host, body, call out through the universe to all beings of your former dark nature. Call out. Are you calling? They always answer yes. Are they coming? Again a yes. How many? There may be only a few who come or there may be masses too great to count. Ask each one who comes to look inside and find their true nature at their center. They are all expected to do this. Again the healing angels are called to fill the recently vacated spaces with healing light. This is followed by a repeat of the previous steps with any that have failed to go with those who left willingly. 12. Rechecking. To determine if any have been hiding or were left behind, the body is scanned again. Any entities found are treated as above until the body is found to be clear of entities. 13. Filling the target with light. The scanner is guided to find the light of the target's spirit at the center of their being and visualize it growing brighter and larger until the entire body is filled with light. If any area fails to fill, we must go back and deal with any problem remaining. When the body is filled with light, directions are given to let the light expand in all directions at least arm's length to form a comforting, protecting, strengthening capsule or bubble around the target. 14. Others to be scanned in this session. In the event that approval has been given by the inner wisdom of the scanner for more than one remote effort, we proceed to the others. I personally feel that 3D possessions at one sitting is the maximum or 1.5 hours, whichever comes first. We usually do only 1D possession per session. In about 25% of the time we do 2. 15. Permission to feel different. We request that the high self of the target let them know that the change they feel is all right and also help them adjust to their new feelings and urges. 16. Scanner is cleared. Scanner is directed to find the light of their own spirit and let it expand, filling their body. If any area fails to fill, it indicates the presence of an entity in the scanner. We deal with any entity found in much the same way as we do with the remote. Chapter 3 Characteristic Effects of Attachments. 1. Sudden changes in behavior such as eating, drinking or sleeping, depression, increase in anger, rebelliousness, fear or suicidal tendencies. 2. Physical pain. Typically not accompanied by usual laboratory or X-ray findings. This kind of pain also fails to respond to traditional medical treatments. 3. Serious illness of unknown cause. Persistent and non-responsive infections have been shown to be caused by attached earthbound entities who suffered from or died of such an infection. When the entity left, so did the infection. Unusual inflammatory or metabolic disorders and blood dyscrasias have disappeared after depossession. 4. Loss of energy. Sudden diminution of physical energy is highly suggestive of possession. A common result of depossession is a marked increase in energy, increased vitality and stamina. 5. Sudden onset of alcohol or drug abuse. In such cases, the possessing entity is usually the one who did, in life, indulge in drugs or alcohol. When influenced to depart, the entity usually takes the urge to use with them. 6. Memory and concentration problems. When someone accustomed to easy learning and high grades in school abruptly changes to low performance and poor grades, it is safe to assume that the possessing entity is the one with the learning problem. 7. Inner voices. If these voices express a reaction or point of view at variance to the one hearing the voices, there is most likely an entity responsible. 8. Multiple personality disorder. Many of the multiples are probably possessions. If that is the case, the treatment of choice is depossession, which when completed, removes the alternate personalities. Careful evaluation may be needed to determine whether or not what appears to be a multiple personality disorder is really a possession. 9. Repetitious nightmares. Particularly if the nightmares contain elements of violence or a struggle against threatening forces. How do entities gain entrance? In order to possess a living person, it is necessary for that person to be vulnerable. A number of different conditions provide the opening for entry. Entry is available during times of unconsciousness for any reason: a blow to the head, anesthetic, drunkenness or drug overdose. Other ways we open to possession are: exhaustion, emotional crises such as intense grief, anger, fear or guilt. Severe illness also lowers our resistance to possession. The presence of one entity seems also to open the door to additional spirits. Deceased loved ones may stay around after their death and attach to the living with the intention of being helpful. Channeling, mediumship, out-of-the-body experiences or automatic writing are open invitations to becoming possessed. I also know of a few cases in which being hypnotized appeared to provide the opening to the entity, but I tend to think that the entities were already present and the hypnosis only helped discover them. Childhood abuse of any kind acts almost like a magnet, attracting entities wishing to attach. Some entities report having joined during a difficult birth or even during gestation. Occasionally we find entities who report having been with their host in a previous life. Picture of Saint Michael. The Archangel paintings of Archangel Michael show him with his foot on the head of a demon. He carries a sword in his right hand poised as if to slay the one under his feet. His powerful pose is symbolic of his superiority over lesser beings. Bill Baldwin's performing a depossession is an impressive sight. When he encounters a difficult, dark, demonic being, he regularly calls on the mighty warrior angels of Saint Michael. The effect of these forces of Saint Michael appears to be that of capturing, helping to convince dark beings of their true plight and nature and escorting them home to a special place in the light designed just for them. Saint Michael's warrior forces are very helpful when we encounter dark entities. I have grown to think of some of them as former dark ones who have become reformed. These have lost all of their dark, troublesome nature and have become rescuers. It seems appropriate to think of Saint Michael as the headmaster of a training camp or reform school for demons. Some who come as helpers communicate with possessing dark ones, admitting that they were once dark and have been transformed into glowing beings. Whether or not this is the correct and complete understanding of the way it is, it serves as a useful metaphor for this depossession work when we have found or believe we have found one or more dark ones. Archangel Michael has been a part of religious tradition for centuries. The Princeton Index of Religious Arts lists over 900 artistic depictions earlier than 1400 AD. Rudolf Steiner, born in Austria, the founder of the Anthroposophical Society, made many references to Michael in his lectures and writings. One emphasis on the mission of Michael is to point the way for humans toward the Christ being. In Jewish, Christian and Islamic mythology, Michael is given the role of leader of the Jews, prince of the church and guardian against the devil. The ancient Persian religion of Zoroaster emphasizes the presence of good and evil forces. They designate the evil forces as Abraman, the energy spirit, demon of demons or spiritual foe. Again and again, sacred and secular writings describe an ongoing battle between the influence for good as against wickedness and evil designs. Rudolf Steiner speaks of the power of the dragon working within man, trying to drag him down. But that man in spirit is the luminous angel whose task has always been the total defeat of the dragon. This glowing figure, Saint Michael, illumines and warms and provides the strength to conquer the dragon's might in our lower nature. This dragging down does appear to be the purpose of those dark entities we have encountered. We do obtain help from the forces of Saint Michael. This adds weight to the concept that Michael has as his purpose the overcoming of the evil one. Approximately 1/4 of the healings of Jesus were the casting out of unclean spirits and demons. Although scripture makes no mention of sending those who were cast out to the light, it seems safe to assume that Jesus sent them to the proper place. He said, "These things that I do shall ye do and more." I feel that releasing attached spirits is included in that command. Some theologians claim to believe that that command pertained only to the 12 apostles. I prefer to accept it as being given to all of us. Chapter 4: My involvement in this work. My life has been filled with a great deal of excitement and adventure. By far the greatest excitement of all of my experiences has come since my depossession training in May of 1989. Since my training, I have been a part of or witnessed transformations in people as possessing entities were removed and sent to the light. It now appears to me that the possible transformations are limitless. Neither time nor distance provides limits. Only the scarcity of trained workers prevents or delays widespread changes in the minds, the health, the emotional tone and behavior of great numbers of people. Let us dream about the possibilities changes that this therapy can produce. Just as a little yeast, when conditions are favorable, grows and multiplies until it leavens the whole loaf, we could permeate the world. Some of us may want to limit our efforts to immediate family, friends and business associates. Others may wish to begin depossessing national and international personalities. I have no doubt that many prominent newsmakers are influenced in their attitudes and actions by the presence of attached entities. If those attached entities are triggering choices toward enmity, bigotry, hatred and violence, and if we are successful in releasing them to the light, there is reason to hope and expect that much of the ugliness, terrorism, racism and warfare could be eradicated. This is a sacred occupation. We cannot know how effective this approach will be until remote depossession techniques have been used by many trained people. One of the cases that generated this kind of enthusiastic optimism dates back to the spring of 1989. This remote was done on 4 young men newly adjudged incurably criminally insane. The doctors had evaluated them as hopelessly unfit for release into society and had expressed the opinion that they would need to remain behind bars for the rest of their lives. All 4 men were under 30 years of age. One day I, as the hypnotist, and M, a very good hypnotic subject, decided to explore the possibility of helping these young men. M, under hypnosis, sent a bit of her consciousness to the prison hospital, over 100 miles away, located the young men one at a time, asked and was granted permission from each high self to scan them for the possible presence of entities. We found and released entities, both earthbound and dark, from each of them. Their behavior changed at once, and within a year all 4 had been reclassified and 3 had been released as cured. Another remote depossession with prompt and gratifying results concerned a 19-year-old in the Chicago area, who had begun heavy use of alcohol at the age of 15. This remote was done in my home in Kirksville, Mo, about 400 miles from the boy's home. During the remote, we found an earthbound entity who stated that he had been driving drunk, had hit a tree, had died and had entered when was 15. We convinced him that there was a better place for him in the light. He left willingly with a beloved friend who came for him. R stopped his drinking as abruptly as he had begun it 4 years earlier. Our information is that for the following 18 months there was no further drinking. Very recently, a guest in my home did a remote depossession on her 84-year-old father, who had been experiencing severe pain in his lower back, knees and feet. We located and removed entities from all three areas. About an hour after the procedure, she phoned him. He reported being completely pain-free. We also did a releasement on her cousin and freed an attached grandmother who had died when the cousin was 27. This cousin had exhibited a marked personality change at 27, becoming more aloof and distant with people, much like the personality of the dead grandmother. When phoned, the cousin expressed much more warmth and caring than was usual. Surprisingly, she said, "I love you," which she had never said before to this cousin. In May of 1992, for a news spot on TV, we did a remote depossession on a young girl of 11 years who had recently become unmanageable. Just as we finished the procedure from 3 miles away, the child's attitude and behavior reverted back to her former normally assertive nature. Her rebellion, belligerence and contrariness vanished and has not returned. During a lecture demonstration in South Texas in March of 1993, a member of the audience, said, "I wonder if this is what is wrong with me. After an extreme emotional crisis 2 years ago, I developed asthma. Medicine keeps it under control, but it is there all of the time." Jay, present in the room, was one with whom I had previously worked. I knew her to be a very good hypnotic subject. Jay agreed to do a scanning of her from across the room. We found a large dark entity in her chest. We dialogued with this dark one in R's chest and convinced it to go with the rescuers. When this one agreed to leave with the forces of Saint Michael, we asked that it take any others of similar nature with him. We were told that there were other dark ones in R's feet and knees. Those in the feet were willing to go, but the ones in the knees refused. We directed the one in the chest to take the willing ones and go in peace with our love and blessing. We then confronted the dark entities in R's knees. At this point, J's face contorted to become gargoyle-like and she began hissing. It required more than a half hour of persuasion to convince these entities to leave. Then we asked the healing angels to come and fill all the vacated spaces with healing light. We then asked R whether she had been having any trouble in her feet and knees. She replied that they had been hurting real bad. I asked her how they felt now. She stood up, moved her knee and ankle joints in various ways and said, "The pain is gone." Then in surprise, "The asthma is gone too. This work is extremely satisfying." The satisfaction arises first from the simplicity of the techniques, the ease in using them and the rapid production of results. Although fearlessness is an asset in dealing with the entities, particularly the rare more prominent dark ones, there is no need to be fearful of producing undesirable results in the one being scanned remotely. I doubt that there exists another therapy with less likelihood of adverse side effects than is to be found in remote depossession therapy. The remote depossessions we have done for people present in the same room have produced obvious changes at once. For more distant scanned targets, we may receive only a brief verbal report or none at all. I admit feeling a measure of dissatisfaction because I do not receive full reports on each case we handle remotely. All sense of dissatisfaction can be dispelled by the receipt of case reports that are detailed with full background history, how the session was conducted together with the noted results. Receipt of such reports is very gratifying. One report, which is included here with only minor editorial changes, has demonstrated to me that the whole effort is worthwhile. Background information: Barbara Sonin, a hypnotherapist from New Jersey, was my demonstration subject during a one-day seminar on past life therapy and remote depossession during the convention of the International Association of Counselors and Therapists in April, 1993, in Edison, New Jersey. 3 weeks later, Barbara and another participant in the ISETE workshop, Joyce C., came to my home in Kirksville, Mo., for 2 days of intensive training and hands-on practice. Both women demonstrated a high-level natural propensity for this work. Upon returning to New Jersey, Barbara related her new interest in depossession work to a hypnotherapist colleague. This friend, ST, requested that Barbara hypnotize her to scan her troubled daughter, B. The following letter is from the mother, May 31, 1993. Dear Drive Hickman, my friend and colleague, Barbara Sonin, asked me on your behalf to write you about my daughter, B, and report on the recent depossession work we did on her. The change has been so amazing and profound, it has certainly expanded my beliefs about all this. Allow me to give you some background first of all. B is an 8 1/2-year-old adopted child. She was given to us by a teenager from New York who had heard about our spiritual community in Tennessee that took unwanted children. Her mother was 7 1/2 months pregnant when she started on a Greyhound bus journey from upstate New York. She got as far as Buffalo, collapsing on the bus from dehydration and a urinary tract infection. The bus driver took her to a nearby hospital. She was 34 admitted and put on IVS and antibiotics for a few days. After she recovered, she set off on her journey again and arrived at our doorstep in remarkably good condition. As she was only 16 when she got pregnant, had dropped out of school and had moved away from home at 14, chances are her nutrition and prenatal care were pretty poor. We had excellent midwives and prenatal care on the community. The farm. By the time her delivery date came, she had a beautiful normal easy vaginal birth. My husband and I were both there at the mother's request. It was a beautiful experience for all of us. When the baby was 4 months old, we moved to Los Angeles, California, so that my husband could set up a West Coast market for his food business, which had begun as a cottage industry on the farm. Farm foods, that winter, B got pneumonia and almost required hospitalization. Thank goodness she didn't have to stay, but there was one long and worrisome day at the hospital during which I carried her sick and feverish little body in and out of various hallways and rooms to get her chest x-rayed. It was at that time she picked up one of the spirits that we subsequently released during our session. She was always a very thin, tall, waif-like child, very affectionate, sensitive and psychic. At 3 1/2, she was mildly molested sexually, fondling and kissing, by 3 neighborhood boys who took her into the woods behind her house. I think she picked up another entity at that time. When she was 4, she spoke to me of the angels and told me about 2 past lives she remembered. She was always very gentle and caring towards animals. We've had many pets. She tells of seeing former pets we have lost in spirit form. By kindergarten, she started to exhibit some mild learning problems and a slight immaturity compared to her peers. On the 31st day of first grade, age 6, she fell off the monkey bars of the swing set in our backyard and shattered her left humerus. We were right there and whisked her to the hospital where she was admitted for a total of 4 days. After an overnight elevation of the arm, they worked on her for 3 1/2 hours of surgery, piecing and wiring together the broken bones. She was a model patient and recovered beautifully. Even though the growth plates were disturbed, she has full use of that arm today. It is growing normally and she is a strong competitive swimmer. That year, she began to have a lot of problems in school. I finally asked them to test her for a learning disability. She was tested at the beginning of second grade. She was diagnosed as having ADD, attention deficit disorder, a learning disability and classified as perceptually impaired. She has been in special education at her school part-time, and mainstreamed part-time. She is taking Ritalin for the ADD, but the last 2 years have been very difficult in many ways. Her behavior has been confrontive, stubborn, overly sensitive and emotional. Finally, when she wouldn't allow anyone in our family to touch her or even brush against her, we decided in December to take her to a very helpful psychologist. He was also working with my husband and me on appropriate parenting for ADHD children and proper discipline for these notoriously difficult children at the time we did the depossession work on her. In fact, we were in the midst of designing a sort of reward-punishment program for her. Barbara Sonin and I attended the Unlimited Humans Conference together and heard you speak. Then she went on to the post-conference workshop on depossession. I was too skeptical. 36 when she returned from visiting you in Kirksville and told me of her experiences and what she had learned, I couldn't help thinking about my daughter and couldn't dismiss the possibility any longer that she might have some attached entities. One afternoon, Barbara led me through your spirit releasement technique.